Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Riding the Storm Out. I am Pastor Paul Blair, and this is
Dan Fisher.
As always, we try to provide a biblical perspective to current cultural issues. Pastor Dan, I'm amazed. You know, we live in what is supposed to be the most conservative state in the union.
Supposed to be.
Not much evidence.
No,
but, you know,
not.
Of course, that's determined in the last several presidential elections.
Yeah.
All 77 counties have voted for the Republican, i.e. the more conservative, supposedly,
right,
of the presidential candidates.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have gotten this name.
False title?
A false title, probably, for the state of Oklahoma, that we're the most conservative state in the union. And the truth of the matter is we do have a lot of things that are headed in the right direction. We do a lot of things better than others. States.
Probably so.
I know when we were in St. Louis doing one of our pastors' conferences up there, Cindy and I saw an ad for one of the Senate candidates on television, and it was literally the exact opposite of what you'd see here in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, a politician in Oklahoma is going to run on pro-life and pro-family and small government and low taxes and all this kind of stuff. This candidate in St. Louis was literally the exact opposite, talking about pro-abortion and big government and all of this kind of nonsense. So I guess we do have a better I guess we are in better shape than a lot of the states in the union. However, because we live here, and quite frankly, because you've been in the belly of the beast, having served two terms, the Oklahoma State Legislature.
Don't remind me.
It's like a nightmare.
It is.
Having run for the governor of Oklahoma, you obviously have seen a side of government that most of us, perhaps thankfully, have never witnessed ourselves.
Yeah.
But of course, this year in Oklahoma, we've got a number of bills going on this very week. And all of these aren't just unique to Oklahoma. This is going on all across the country. However, it is unique that Oklahoma is supposed to be the strong bastion of conservatism, yet we are having these debates. Dan, let's talk about some of the issues that we face, some of the family squabbles.
Sure.
That we face with the Republican Party and supposedly the Christian body in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So we got three bills, and let's take a look in a time of our broadcast today. Let's try to analyze all three bills, and because we have an election upcoming, let's try to have this out and hopefully provide some information for the people in our state so they can get out and vote accordingly.
Well, and one little correction, one of them is a state question.
That's correct.
So the people are going to be voting on the state question.
And that's
soon.
A big one. That's a big one.
That's a huge one, and if we don't have a good conservative turnout, we're going to go the wrong direction real fast.
And you know what's interesting is even as engaged or active as I am in politics, I'd forgotten that it was coming up next week.
Yeah.
I mean, really, our side has not done a very good job of awakening the base and educating them.
They haven't done a job at all.
No, and you're right. You're right.
It's not even a job, not even a good job, mediocre job. They've done nothing.
Do you think that's intentional?
I think it is. I think, unfortunately, it is.
Well, let's talk about the state question first. We've got three women are talking about today. Two are legislative actions that we will tell our listeners about. But first, on March the 7th, the state of Oklahoma has State Question 820, which would be to legalize marijuana for recreational purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what, a year or 2 years ago, Oklahoma actually moved to legalize marijuana for medical purposes.
Right.
And quite frankly, I am not a doctor. If I have heard from many people that have issues, pain issues or other issues, where they claim that it actually does help and treat them better than oxycodone or Oxycontin or something else.
Yeah.
Not arguing about that. However, what concerns you about the direction that we're heading as a state?
Well, I think, Paul, what really concerns me the most about the recreational marijuana thing, beyond all of the obvious that we'll probably talk about, is just the spiritual implications. I mean, it appears to me that we just keep lowering the standard. That which would have been unthinkable when you and I were growing up. I was born in 1959. The idea of legalized marijuana or pot was just – it was just unthinkable. I mean, the guys who smoked pot would go out behind the high school. We called them the potheads. And, you know, they looked like it. And they were – they had their own culture.
Marijuana on the black T-shirt. Yeah, marijuana
yeah. They were always in trouble. They're always stoned. They flunky – they flunk out. You know, they were flunkies. I mean, the whole deal, right?
Do you remember when you had smoking areas in the gym?
Yes,
high
I
high
remember.
School?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it was just crazy. And today, so we're looking at legalized marijuana. Now, I think all of us probably understand that marijuana is truly a gateway drug, mm-hmm. right? So what is this going to mean for our culture? It's the same, really, it's the same question when you discuss gambling. It's the same issue. It's not whether or not you ought to be able to gamble. What does it do to the culture? And what has happened to a state that at one time it was kind of part of the Bible Belt? I mean, where did the Bible go?
And you know, one of the things I find that's interesting about this is I saw a commercial the other day for the first time. Quite frankly, I've just kind of sworn off television. I still watch a lot of stuff, but 4, 5, and 9, the main stations, there's just not much worth watching.
No.
And quite frankly, I gave up on news about 5 or 6 years ago. Local news, I had so many hatchet job stories done about me when I was running for office. And then, of course,
those weren't true.
Well, not as far as you know.
Oh.
But, you know, I haven't watched much of the local television. But I saw one lately, and of course, it made the statement that it's all for the kids.
Oh, it's always
about
for the kids.
Public education.
It's always
all
for
about
the kids.
Public education.
Yeah.
And I thought back. I can remember when I was a young man. I can remember when they were talking about parimutuel betting. These ads.
Oh, yeah.
Let the ponies run.
Yeah. And it was going to save education in Oklahoma. Fund it in perpetuity, right?
Forever.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, Chris, I always thought it was funny. It's like, I live out, you know, you drive in Oklahoma, you can see horses, they're running all the time.
Yeah.
Why can't horses run?
Let those horses run.
Let the ponies run. And of course, parimutuel horse racing was what it was all about. So we brought that in, and still there wasn't enough money for education. Then, of course, liquor by the drink. You know, one time in Oklahoma.
That was going to solve the
problem. A lot of the counties, you know, you had to bring your own bottle and go to a bar, and they'd pour drinks out of your own bottle.
Right.
But, you know.
How do you know so much about that?
Well, again, as far as you know, I know nothing about this. But once again, that was going to save education.
Of course.
We have all the money we need for education.
Yeah.
Then there was the lottery.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, along with that, to do the lottery, we had to have casino gambling. In fact, there's more casinos in Oklahoma than there are in Nevada. So,
I know.
You know, we don't take a backseat to Las Vegas.
Now, think about that.
I know.
I mean, that's crazy.
The buckle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbuckled, let me tell you.
Well, you know, there's an old joke that says a Christian, a Jew, and a Baptist were getting together and discussing about theological differences. And the Jew said, "We don't recognize the deity of Jesus as the Messiah." Oh, very good. And then the Catholic said, "We don't recognize the priesthood of the believer."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. And then the Baptist said, "We don't recognize each other in the liquor store." Or when we're buying lottery tickets or at the casinos.
Yeah.
But again, this is one of those that was supposed to take care of funding for education in perpetuity. And of course, it didn't. And then now we see the continual – now the whole reason for recreational marijuana is for public education.
Yeah, taxes. We can tax this.
Yeah, and now, exactly, we can tax it. And that's really what the Republican legislators, I think, are behind.
Probably so. Probably so.
To get their hands on more money.
I can't figure out another reason, because all of these things that you just mentioned require extra policing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that if you look at study after study after study, all of these studies show that the so-called money that these activities bring into the state is never enough to actually pay for the policing of the problems that are caused by these things. So whether it's gambling or whether it's liquor or now it's going to be recreational marijuana, the tremendous load that it places on law enforcement, we can't come up with the money. It doesn't produce enough.
And one of the things I've wondered, you know, a police officer, if he finds someone driving erratically, like our assistant Val and her hot rod.
Right, exactly, yeah, exactly. I think she'd been something.
She at least claims to be sober most of the time.
But we all know she's not.
But if a police officer pulls over someone that's driving erratically, they can take a breathalyzer test and they can determine whether they have alcohol or not, or do a blood test. How do you tell if someone's – I honestly don't know.
How much smoke is in the car?
like a scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, right?
If the window comes down and the smoke boils out, you remember you
the
know
old
Cheech
and Chong movies? But how do you tell? I mean, how can you tell if somebody's beyond their legal? I agree with you.
Yeah, I know. It would take a blood test, I would assume.
I think this is going to cause a lot of problems for law enforcement that right now we haven't had to deal with or contend with.
Well, but it's also going to do other things, Paul, to the culture, because you and I preach that if you start lowering your standards personally, mm-hmm. you eventually diminish your spiritual condition.
Right.
Well, I'll allow this, and well, okay, I'm going to allow a little of that.
Compromise.
Well, yeah, no. So eventually there's not much left to compromise because you've compromised everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it would appear to me that what we're really showing is our diminished spiritual state. And I've kind of got a theory on this, if you want to hear it.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, when Oklahoma became a state, we were one of the last states to come in. Baptists had a huge influence mm-hmm. through missionary work and everything else into early Oklahoma. And the largest voting bloc in Oklahoma is the Baptist voting bloc. And if you've watched what's happened with the Baptist Church, if you've watched what's happened with the Southern Baptist Convention,
yeah.
compromise
yeah.
left and right, I think it's a sign that the church in Oklahoma,
yeah.
you know, represented mainly by the Baptist church, we've lowered our standards spiritually. Because
yeah. no,
why wouldn't we go out and vote this out? So you say this vote's coming up March the 7th.
Tuesday, March the 7th. And ladies and gentlemen, it's State Question 820. So if you are opposed to recreational marijuana in the state of Oklahoma,
yeah.
you need to get out and vote no on State Question 820 on Tuesday, March the 7th. Make sure and let your family know. Make sure and let your friends know.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you who will be out in force.
Go ahead.
The potheads. Come on. I mean, they will be.
No doubt.
And notice when these elections take place. They take place yeah. in these off elections yeah. when they know that the voter turnout's going to be low. And I'll bet you, Paul, that the average church-going Christian probably doesn't even know that this is up for a vote next year.
I would say that the average conservative only thinks about presidential elections.
Pretty much.
The rest of the time, they aren't even yeah. aware when school board or other things
no.
are going on.
No.
And
no.
that's why they put these things out there.
These
like
school bond votes
like
and all yep. that kind of stuff when they know the voter turnout's going to be incredibly low.
So, State Question 820, March the 7th, here in the great state of Oklahoma.
How do we vote?
If you are a resident in the state of Oklahoma and you are opposed to legalizing recreational marijuana, then you would go vote no for State Question 820. If you're for legalizing marijuana, then go pick up a latest copy of Cheech and Chong's Great Adventure and head down.
High Times.
Yeah,
you can get a copy of High Times.
High Times, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's coming up, and you're right, coming up on us, and quite frankly, haven't heard.
And really, all jokes aside, the Christian community
yeah.
really does need to mobilize on this because we could vote this down.
No doubt.
If we wanted to.
Yeah.
We're large enough in Oklahoma, meaning that the Christian population, we could stop this stuff
Those
if we
that
wanted
identify
to.
As church members. We
yeah,
overwhelmingly
of course.
Dominate
of course.
The state of Oklahoma.
Of course we do.
Now, the second thing, in fact, you and I were down at the Capitol earlier today dealing with a couple of these. Senate Bill 834, which again, hate to make this a personal if you are not with us in the state of Oklahoma. However, Oklahoma should be a barometer for the rest of the country. If we, as the supposedly most conservative state in the union, are having to deal with this kind of stuff within internally, then no doubt you are as well or are about to be. But in Oklahoma, since Roe v. Wade was tossed by the Supreme Court, thankfully,
yeah,
after 50 years and over 60 million
exactly.
babies have been slaughtered. We have some of the most restrictive laws against the killing of preborn children
yeah.
of any state in the union. As a matter of fact, today in Oklahoma, there is not a single abortion clinic operating. Praise
right.
God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
After 50 years.
Yeah.
Today in the state of Oklahoma, it's actually against the law for ladies to participate in self-induced abortions, so they can't
yeah.
order mail-order drugs. And quite frankly, people that think that that doesn't cause damage to a lady, if you're really concerned about a woman's health, when you sit there, the emotional scarring
yeah, it's exactly
of forcing
right.
your baby to pass and then seeing your baby as a body in the toilet.
Yep.
That is going to be traumatic, and you will carry that forever. Yeah. Plus the internal scarring, the bleeding, yeah, and other things, a great risk it actually is to women's health. But that in the state of Oklahoma is illegal right now.
Yep.
Sadly, we have Senate Bill 834.
Mm-hmm.
But good thing, Dan, we have a super majority of Republicans.
Oh, so we're safe.
In the state of Oklahoma. So yeah, you've been there. Tell me.
Well, that super majority is actually the ones came up with this bill.
Well, pray tell, how could that happen?
Because they don't practice what they campaign on.
Mm-hmm.
They campaign as staunchly pro-life, and then they get into the legislature, and they start giving in for whatever reason. I don't know whether they were lying when they were campaigning, or they flip a switch when they get there, but something happens. So 834 is going to basically do what, Paul?
It's going to basically roll back some of these most restrictive abortion laws, mm-hmm, we have, and it's going to open the door. And again, one of the things that they use as an excuse, they talk what about the cases of rape and incest, which factually are a minuscule part of the abortions.
Right. Like
Guttmacher Institute itself, and Guttmacher is not on our side. They're the pro-abortion advocates that are out there. But in their own studies, they determined that less than 1% of all abortions are done because of rape, less than 0.5% are because of incest. And even those numbers are inflated.
Yes.
Because there were cases where, I mean, somebody turns out pregnant, they don't have the money to get the abortion.
Yeah.
If they claim rape or incest, then they can have it provided to them
for
free. However, the reality is, once there's conception, we're not just dealing with the mother's life.
Or her mental state.
Or her mental state. We're dealing with another human life.
That's exactly right. And that's why I've always argued, Paul, that abortion is murder.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would ever define it as murder, then there's no reason to ever murder anyone, because there's a difference in murder and killing.
Right.
There's justifiable killing. If someone's breaking into your house,
mm-hmm, threatens my family,
you can kill them.
Legal. Absolutely.
If we have a just war, it's been declared, mm-hmm, we can send soldiers to the battlefield and they can kill, but that's not murder.
Right.
This is murder. And if we would define it as such, then how could you solve the crime of rape by another crime of murder?
Right.
And you couldn't.
You can't.
That's exactly
and
right.
And what is so illogical about this is you hear some of these Republicans that are proponents of this saying that we have to allow more killing of children in order to stop the killing of children. that was insane, as when President Bush says we have to abandon the free market in order to save the free market.
Exactly.
How can killing more children save the lives of more children? And you know what I thought was really interesting? I did some research on this. Obviously, we went down to the Capitol. The famous African-American singer Eartha Kitt was conceived by rape. The famous civil rights activist Jesse Jackson was conceived by statutory rape. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt adopted a daughter named Zahara, who was conceived by rape. But her mother didn't kill her. She was adopted and lives now a great life. TV personality and actress Faith Daniels, this was really, really compelling. She was conceived by rape, and she made the statement, "It really doesn't matter how you were conceived, only what you've become."
Isn't that good?
So thankfully, these mothers didn't decide to terminate their lives, their babies' lives. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the benefit of these individuals in society.
And we're not trying to underestimate the mental, emotional trauma that these women go through. This is a heinous rape and incest are heinous crimes. And I think we ought to throw the book at the perpetrators. So I don't want us to be misunderstood as saying we don't care about the woman. Right. You just carry this baby. But we are talking about a baby.
A baby.
And murder is not a really good response to rape.
No. And as you said, you know, if you want to stop bad behavior, that's why the Bible has the death penalty for certain crimes.
Exactly.
If we had rather than executing the product of the rape, which is the baby.
Right. Who was innocent, by the way.
Innocent. Why don't we execute one who is found guilty beyond any reasonable doubt of first degree rape?
Yeah.
If you want to minimize or eliminate the whole threat of rape, that's a good way of doing it.
Where I'm from in Fort Smith, Arkansas, hanging Judge Isaac Parker proved that point in the 1880s.
You know, one of the things that was really – in fact, I used this. I sent it out in some emails to some of our state legislators. But – and it just – happened, and it really struck me. I've got my second grandchild on the way.
Yeah.
A little baby girl. Granddaughter's going to be born in June. And
wait, she's on her way, so she's not a girl yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. In fact, she might not decide to be a girl.
She's just a blob of tissue.
Just a blob
of
tissue.
You understand?
Yeah, sure. I got you. I got you. But my daughter-in-law had gone to the doctor and had the exams and brought back some pictures and videos. And this was a couple of months ago. I actually have a video on my phone. I sent it out to these legislators of my granddaughter at 11 weeks. Now, mind you, I think they can detect a heartbeat at about 6 weeks or 6 or 7 weeks. So this is very early on in the pregnancy. At 11 weeks, and on this video, you can see a perfectly formed hip, a perfectly formed thigh, a perfectly formed calf, a knee that functions, a foot with toes, going from a bent position to a fully extended position, pushing out against the wall of my daughter-in-law's uterus.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. You see, it's a miracle.
Of course it is.
But it proves that is not a blob of tissue.
No.
That is not just a part of the woman's body.
No.
That is a human being.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here.
That's exactly what we're talking about. And so what is so disheartening about 834, and it's a Senate bill, SB 834, is that our Republican leadership is now wanting to roll back the restrictions. So what do our people do, Paul, if they don't want them to do that?
Contact their state senator and tell them no. In fact, contact their legislators and tell them no. And I would invite them to go to a website. It's called protectlifeandliberty.com. That's protectlifeandliberty. Spell it all out. No spaces. protectlifeandliberty.com. You can find out all sorts of information about this particular bill and also a list of the legislators that you need to contact. So call down there, talk to your senator, email down there, talk to your senator, email all the senators and let them know to vote no on Senate Bill 834.
And you and I were at the Capitol today, and normally these folks are not going to be talking to their rep or their senator. What they're going to be talking to is a legislative assistant, and they've been trained to be very kind, even if they don't agree with our opinion. They'll take your opinion anyway. So there's really nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
They're not going to have to debate a senator on the phone. So I would encourage everybody, you and I were down there today, seeing them face to face.
And also as a reminder, when you call down there or when you email down there, you maintain your witness too.
That's right.
That
be
legal
kind.
Assistant, that representative or senator's assistant is doing a job. Just let them know, hello, my name is so-and-so. I live in Oklahoma. I live in such and such a district possibly.
Yep.
And then say, I wanted to please tell the senator that I am opposed to Senate Bill 834 and I would ask that he be opposed to it and vote no on it as well.
Exactly.
It's that simple. But these guys keep score because they want to get reelected.
Yes, they do.
And they've got a certain ratio. They know that for every phone call they receive, that
represents
many
other
voters.
That's
right. Every email they receive, that represents X number of voters. So when we take the time to contact those senators, it really does make a difference.
And even in your House representative, even though that bill is a Senate bill and it hasn't made it to the House yet, it probably will.
It's going to be going over.
So they need to be prepared to vote no.
So
there you go.
So far today, we have talked about State Question 820, which is the bill to legalize marijuana in the state of Oklahoma for recreational purposes. We've talked about Senate Bill 834, which is relaxing abortion standards in the state of Oklahoma. And then the last thing we want to talk about in the time that we have left today is Senate Bill 669. And I've got to have some fun with this. It is a bill that would provide driver's licenses for illegal aliens. Now, track with me here, folks. This was given to the Aerospace Committee.
Well, they may want to fly their car.
Well, normally you would think transportation, maybe. But the only conclusion I could come to was it's dealing with aliens.
Oh,
so it must be the aerospace community.
Aliens.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Of course. Well, it does in the legislature, I guarantee.
I don't know if E.T. ever got his driver's license. Maybe he's still working on it.
He may not have.
But, you know, if there is someone that's in the country legally and has a green card and everything right, you know, whatever we need to do to make sure that they have their rights protected.
Well, to be able to drive to work. And so they won't be a drain on the economy and the culture.
But if someone's in the country illegally, that's where I have an issue.
Well, why don't we set up a place for them to come get their driver's license, and when they come in, we just arrest them and deport them. And they never get a chance. I mean, we say we can't find them. This is a great way to catch them.
I've got an even better idea. We can put a sign out front that says, get your free pot here.
Oh, while you're getting your driver's license, especially if you're an illegal. And we could deal with a lot of problems in just one. So here's the thing. These people are illegal. Now, it's not that I hate them.
No.
I don't even know who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this, if they're here illegally, they're willing to break the law.
Right. And we've got a lot of issues at our southern border. And there's a lot
more.
Well,
of course we do.
There are cases. And, of course, we have incentivized this the way our president has acted. When you promote globally that, hey, we are no longer going to secure the southern border, and if you get into our country, we're going to provide you with all this free stuff, and we're not going to send you back, well, you might as well just roll out the red carpet.
Well, it's exactly right.
Invite people to come in, and that's what's happened.
Yeah.
And while there are individuals that certainly want to pursue what they perceive as the American dream and want to bring their family here. We also know that of the millions that are crossing the southern border, that's not the case. In fact, there's a substantial part of them that are coming here from nefarious purposes that, quite frankly, aren't even from South America or Mexico.
And they're not coming with their families.
We've seen Chinese. We've seen Iranians. We've seen Arabians. We've seen all of sorts that don't necessarily love the United States of America that are coming through an open southern
border. No, exactly. And so, for me, I understand the need to be able to drive a car to get to work and all that. But basically what our state will be doing, in my mind, is sanctioning entering our country illegally. Hey, we'll give you a driver's license.
Right.
And you realize that driver's license then can be a form of identification that will allow them to have access to a lot of other things, like maybe voting.
Well, you're not supposed to check for ID on that. I mean,
well, I know, but in Oklahoma we do.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to show your driver's license. Well, they'll have one now.
And, you know, when a person came into the country illegally at one point in time, they had to use illegal means to try to get illegal papers to show that they had a right to be
right
here. Well, what we are doing now is allowing those that have come into the country illegally, we are simply going to provide them legitimate identification.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Even though they're here illegally, they will have legitimate state-issued identification to justify their being here illegally.
And, Paul, to me, I realize we can't stress symbolism over substance, but there's something to be said for symbolism, and this symbolically is saying, hey, come on in, you're good, we'll give you a driver's license. I mean, these things matter, and it sends a signal to our young people the laws don't matter.
And it really does. And at the same time, we're sending another $10 billion to Ukraine to make sure that the citizens of Ukraine have money in their bank accounts.
Yeah,
according to President Biden.
Little money in their pockets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, in a nutshell, we've covered three things today.
We have.
And folks, I hope you've enjoyed this. This has been very personal. We're talking about issues in the state of Oklahoma. But all of these, I can promise you, are reaching over into other states across the union as well. So it's important that we in Oklahoma recognize what's going on.
Well, can I say this,
Paul? Yeah, go ahead.
I think for pastors in other states, this is a really good example of what they need to be doing in their state, talking about the issues that are going on in their legislature in their state, because if the pastor doesn't sound the alarm, who will?
My people perish for lack of knowledge. And I know that's talking about God's word, but the reality is we perish.
And the watchman on the wall if he doesn't sound the alarm.
Yeah. So three things. First of all, Senate Bill 834, the abortion issue. Contact your state legislator here in the state of Oklahoma. Say you are opposed to Senate Bill 834. We do not want to relax and make abortion more available. Senate Bill 669, illegal aliens getting driver's licenses. That also we are opposed to. We are all for legal immigration, but we do not want to foster and make it easier for illegals to come in and blend into the United States. And then State Question 820 on Tuesday, March the 7th, if you are opposed to legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes, then you've got to get out and vote no on State Question 820. Anything else you're going to add?
Man, that's it.
All right, buddy. It's been a good show today. Been a good full day.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Riding the Storm Out, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then,
God bless you, and stand the ground that God's given you. Don't give an inch.
Amen.